Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Crystal Lake Tax and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Crystal Lake Tax is a franchise of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
If you're looking for financial advice that is not about selling you products, rather having a blueprint that coordinates your investments, taxes, and estate into one plan, all under one roof, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart. Michael is the founder of Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. Michael has been a fiduciary financial planner for over 20 years, serving clients across the country on their financial planning needs. Michael is the author of the Amazon book, Purpose-Based Investing, 9 Lessons to Rescue Your Retirement from Wall Street. So let's head over to the drafting table and get this episode of the Retirement Success Blueprint started.
What a difference a week makes. Last week, things were relatively calm, right? We go back about 2 weeks ago, calm, cool, collective, and now we're talking about the possibility of systemic bank failures. Is this a repeat of 2008 all over again? Well, stay tuned to this episode of the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. Hello and welcome to this week's show. This is Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, and it's great to be here with you today. We have a lot to cover on this week's show. I kind of want to start off by taking a take from Mark Grant's recent newsletter. So we all know the last 12 months have not been any fun. Whether you've been in bonds or stocks, it's been quite painful. And it seemed every careful step you took was like crunching glass beneath your feet. Not much to say except, ouch. Last year was one of the more painful in recent memory. In 2023, things initially looked somewhat brighter, right? Markets rallied in January and early February. Then the Fed came again battling inflation, and everything got whacked again. And I've been warning for months about the collateral damage and unintended consequences being caused by the Fed of just going too far, too fast, and raising interest rates with virtually no thought of the consequences of their actions. So battling inflation is fine, as long as it's part of a larger view of what it does to the economy, the markets, the banking system, the real estate market, pension funds, retirement accounts, and the collateral damage that comes from higher interest rates. The Fed, however, has not done this. Its sole focus has been mainly, like with a horse with blinders on, inflation. And this, in my opinion, has been a colossal mistake. In my view, as banks implode around us, real estate slows, manufacturing's contracting, layoffs are starting to increase, they should just stop. It takes up to 6 months for a Fed rate increase to actually show up in the economic numbers. And that means that just now, here in the spring, as we start seeing things breaking all around us, these are the results of the rate hikes from 6 months ago, right back in the fall. So what happens when the December, the February, the March rate hikes make their way into the economy this summer? We are on a quick road to a recession, and the bus driver's the Fed. The prudent thing for them to do is to pause and assess the situation and see how those prior hikes already are going to impact the economy negatively over the next few months before they drive that bus over the economic cliff. Now, that's just one man's take, but if you start to see cracks in your foundation, you shouldn't ignore them. Unfortunately, the Fed is. So speaking of cracks, we've got bank failures, right? In the past couple weeks, Silicon Valley Bank, as well as three others along the way. Signature Bank, First Republic is teetering, and even Credit Suisse overseas. So the question is, what does that mean for your money? Should we be concerned about another financial crisis? Or is this the kind of couple of just isolated incidents? And also, the Fed came out with new inflation rating, so we're going to talk about that today as well. Well, I think first I need to kind of break it down, just a real quick summary of what's happened in case you're not sure, or maybe you don't really understand because there's a lot of talking heads out there saying a lot of different things. But before we go any further, I do want to say that anytime you want to learn more, you can always just go to our website, crystallaketax.com. That's crystallaketax.com, where you can listen to previous shows, see upcoming educational events that we're hosting, just a lot of great resources on there. Well, so first of all, we talked for weeks previously on this show that an inverted yield curve is not good for banks. So an inverted yield curve is when short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates. So think about it, right? If you're going to tie up your money for 10 years instead of 1 year, you'd want to get more interest from that than if it's only a couple years that you were tying it up for. But there's times like this when the Fed manipulates the short-term rates up, and all of a sudden short-term rates are higher than long-term rates, and that's bad for banks. Why? Because if you're a depositor in a bank or have short-term CDs, you want to get higher rates that are commensurate with today's short-term rates. But meanwhile, some of the banks have portfolios of loans that they made back a year, two, 3 years ago were lower interest rate environment, where the interest they're receiving from those loans can't be much more than what they're paying out to depositors today. So they're not making any profits anymore now that short-term rates have gone up, and it's really not a good move for them. And in some cases, the yield curve could be inverted, and that's part of the problem. Banks look at something called net interest margin. How much am I collecting in interest versus how much am I paying out? And when that starts to flip, that basically they're paying out more than they're collecting, that becomes a problem. The second issue is, remember when interest rates go up, the value of bonds go down, the value of mortgages go down, because those rates they were paying are far less competitive today, since today's rates are higher, which doesn't affect banks unless there's a run on the bank. And then all of a sudden, if there's a run on the bank, they've got to sell those investments at a loss, and that has a huge effect. So a couple reasons why we talk about more deer on the show, it's a couple reasons because this was foreseeable. Speaking of the banking industry, our first question has to do with CD rates. So we have Cody. He says, CD rates are back up over 4% in some places. Should I just pull my money out of the market and invest in CDs? Okay, well, it's possible if you have money that you want to spend short-term, Cody, but understand you can get higher rates by going to other things. I always talk about bonds and bond-like instruments and lock those rates up for longer. See, the problem with CDs right now, Cody, is that you can get short-term rates pushing 4 or 5%, but you can't get a 10-year CD at 5%. Why? Because most financial institutions believe interest rates are going down in the near future, and they're not going to be able to continue to pay that. So they're willing to offer more on short-term rates than they are long-term rates. So that inverted yield curve we talked to is even impacting things like your CD rates. You'll notice you get the same or a lower rate on a longer CD than you do a short-term CD. And that's just a reflection, Cody, that the Fed and banks anticipate that in the very short order, the Fed's going to stop raising rates. They're actually going to have to start cutting them as we go into recession. So they may offer you 5% for 6 months, but really all you're really getting is about 2-2.5% because it's only there for half a year, right? So you're not getting 5% for 6 months. Really, for the first 6 months, you're only getting 2.5% of that interest. And then if rates go down, you're back stuck with lower rates. So sometimes you want to lock up some of your money, if you don't need it in the short term, into something that maybe for 3, 5+ years pays you a fixed interest rate for a longer period of time, as long as you're just comfortable with earning that interest rate independent of what's going on in the world. But if this is money that's there for future retirement income, you might be getting more interest in short term, but you're not solving a long-term problem, right? So don't make short-term decisions with long-term money. So if it's cash, if it's money in the bank that you know you need for a purchase or emergency savings, sure, I would keep it on the CD and the banking side. But if you start adding 2-year, 5-year+ time windows to this as your retirement money or things you don't need for several years, I would look at other things like bonds, real estate, look at dividend paying stocks. There's a variety of different things that might be more suitable for the timeline you're looking at than just park it in a CD saying, hey, that's great. Today it's safe. Today I got a really good rate. But 6 months from now, you might be in the opposite situation. So Cody, I hope that answers your question. If you've got a question you'd like me to answer on air, you can always go to crystallaketax.com, submit your question. Tune in to next week's show, hear your, maybe the answer to your question. If you've got a private question that you don't want shared on air, but you would like to answer, personally give you a call back, give us a call, 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822. We'll personally call you back to discuss that with you. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. You are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. And especially today, as we talk about the banking industry, especially with Silicon Valley Bank failing and some other things coming out from the finance industry, plus the inflation, the report coming out. So I have to talk to you about the bond market. Robert Kiyosaki, that's the Rich Dad Poor Dad author, he actually said the other day, the bond market's crashing. That's his opinion, by the way. And I know this is going to shock you, but he's pushing gold and silver once again as the best bet. So yes, bond fund rates have been falling because interest rates have been going up. But given that the Fed's near what they call their terminal rate, which means they're getting close to the end. They may not be at the end of raising rates yet, but they're a lot closer than they were a year ago. That's probably about where you're going to hear the end of the bond market crashing. I mean, the horse is out of the barn, right? The real pain was bonds losing double digits last year. So, you know, according to Robert Kiyosaki, there's going to be these massive defaults. And I don't see that right now. Most of corporate America is actually pretty healthy. I don't see massive defaults out there. So again, I think that's a radical word that a lot of people use for marketing purposes to get media attention. But the reality is that it just isn't. Nothing out there today would indicate that that's what's happening, that there's a lot of stress and pressure in the bond market. And most of the damage in terms of prices falling are just due to rising interest rates, not anything wrong with the companies that actually issued the bonds. So if you hold them to maturity, you're going to get your money back, assuming they don't go out of business anyway. So most of that damage appears to be done in the bond market. But it reminds me back in the late 70s, 80s, we had a lot of people, and this is for a previous question. Cody said, should I buy CDs right now? And it's funny because back in 1979, 1980, rates were going up and everyone said, well, I don't want to buy long-term government bonds. I want to buy the short-term stuff because rates are going up. Well, in retrospect, had you locked in a 30-year treasury bond in 1980, you would have locked in over 10% AAA guaranteed interest from the government for 30 years, and it would have paid you 10% all the way to 2010. That would have been a pretty good deal back then and a great investment. But kind of our mindset is, nope, things are going to keep going higher. But the reality is we may be teetering already at the high. So the reality is when interest rates are going up, people don't want to lock in long term. And I think the message I was trying to give Cody was that, yeah, if you buy the CD, you're solving the problem for 6 months or a year, maybe 2 years. But interest rates come back down again, as everybody seems to believe they will, and I'm one of them, is that you haven't solved the permanent problem. But this is a great opportunity to solve it more long term. And don't get me wrong, this isn't like 1979 or 80 or where we're going to see interest rates at 15%. I don't believe that at all. But we have seen interest rates higher now than we've seen them in 15 years. So it is a great chance to lock in some of those higher rates, especially if you're retired or you're close to retirement. So don't think short-term people like they did in 79 and 80. It cost them a ton of money. And that was my message to our good friend Cody a little bit earlier. So right now, for the first five callers, I want to offer you an opportunity for our Retirement Success Kit. Retirement Success Kit has a lot of things in it. Why? Because you need a lot of things. You need more than one thing in retirement. It's got a copy of my recent book, The Retirement Success Blueprint, How to Build the Retirement You Deserve, two companion reports. One, are you paying too much taxes in retirement? And a second companion report, 11 signs you're working with the wrong advisor. It's complimentary. We'll mail it out to you at our expense. The Retirement Success Kit. How do you get it? Give us a call. 866-316-0822. Ask for the Retirement Success Toolkit. 866-316-0822. No cost, no obligation. We'll get that in the mail to you on Monday. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about why people out there, why our listeners really shouldn't be so worried. We're going to tamp down some of those media concerns and also inflation. What are the latest signals on inflation, how we think the Fed might react to that, and most importantly, how it affects your hard-earned dollars? All that and more coming up. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. You are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. We'll be right back.
This is the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first five callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit.
Call 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822. Or visit us online at crystallaketax.com. Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart, brought to you by Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, with offices in Madison and the Chicago suburbs.
Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. This is Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. So glad you're here today, because we're talking about a lot of the big news out of the banking industry, specifically Silicon Valley Bank failing, as well as some other banks having issues out there. Plus, the inflation numbers came out, and inflation ticked up a little bit more. I believe it was about another 0.5% up last month. So it seems like Fed's interest rates, what they're doing, it's having some effect, but it still remains to be seen what full effect it's going to have. So the banks are wanting the Fed to pause, maybe lower short-term rates, because again, they raised short-term rates so much the markets didn't allow long-term rates to come up, because remember, long-term rates are market-driven. Short-term rates are manipulated by the Fed. Yeah, that's why you have this inverted yield curve, where short-term rates are higher than long-term rates. And that's wreaking havoc with the banks, and it's happening with all banks. But there's certain banks that are more susceptible than others, and it's really to its bottom line. So the government came out and said, we're going to make all the depositors whole, right? So in a de facto way, they said the FDIC insurance isn't $250,000 to these banks. It's unlimited in a de facto way. So the Fed's getting pressure to raise rates because of inflation, but lower rates because of what's going on in the banking sector. So here's my message I'd like to give Jerome Powell. Remember what President Reagan said.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Here's my message, Mr. Powell. Take your hands off the controls. Take your hands off the steering wheel. Take your feet off the pedals. Stop micromanaging the economy. Stop manipulating it. This is like a race car driver. If you're racing a car, you drive differently from if you're on a street. You go full speed as late into the latest point you can. You see that turn coming, then you jam on the brakes to slow down as quickly as you can go through the turn. And then when you're at the safe point, you step on the gas as hard as you can. So you're accelerating as hard as you can through the straightaways, braking as hard as you can before the turns. This is how you race a car. Jerome Powell thinks that our economy is a race car, that it's some sort of toy. It is not a race car. It is not a toy. You cannot manipulate it like that. You cannot step on the gas by lowering it straight to zero, doing quantitative easing for 15 years. Well, there's a little break maybe in between there, and then all of a sudden step on the brakes by jamming up interest rates again. This isn't a racetrack. It is not a race car. And what's causing these problems is he's zigging in one direction and zagging in the other direction, and it's causing incredible stability in the financial markets. So my best advice is don't listen to the inflation numbers. They're going to smooth out over time. We know real estate prices going up is a lag, right? So we knew that was going to happen. Still surprised at anybody or any economist. Everybody knew it was going to be bad for the banks. So for Chairman Powell, just stop. Let it settle out for a while. See what happens. So Mr. Powell, please take your hands off the control. Unfortunately, I don't think Jerome Powell's listening. I wish they'd listen to you, because things might be getting a little bit better than they are. But a lot of people out there are worried. They're listening to this hysterical media. They're getting a little freaked out. So especially I want to go into our next listener question. This is from Angela. Angela says, I'm worried about systemic failures in the banking system. Should I just pull my money out of the bank entirely? Well, Angela, great question, but I wouldn't overreact here. The reality is I'm just talking about a moment ago is, first of all, the FDIC limits are up to $250,000 per person per bank. So if you have $250,000 in different banks, so let's say $2 million, you get $250,000 scattered in 8 different banks. If you're married, I believe you have around $750,000 in each bank, because it's $250,000 per titling. So if you have $250 in an individual account in your name, $250 in your spouse's name, $250 in a joint, that full $750 is completely FDIC insured. So if I understand the rules of property, you could have 250 each of you, you know, so there's different ways you could actually have more than 250 in the bank and still stay under FDIC limits. And frankly, if the numbers are much higher than that, as I mentioned a moment ago, by promising to cover all the depositors of Silicon Valley Bank and the Fed backstopping a lot of these uninsured deposits, many were just large employers and companies. So the Fed had to say, hey, we're going to backstop and cover more than $250,000 because the Fed knows they created this problem. So, Angela, I wouldn't get carried away. I wouldn't make any knee-jerk reaction at this point. And another question that we get a lot of times is, you know, we use both Fidelity and TD Ameritrade and Schwab as custodians for our clients. That means who holds their assets that we manage. So, you know, some of the things have been saying, hey, Mike, should I worry about my money in those custodians? You know, the Schwabs and the Vanguards and the TD Ameritrades, whomever it happens to be, whoever's holding your assets, whoever you get your statements from. And the real answer is no. And the reason why is as it relates to your investments. So I'm talking about you own shares of Coca-Cola, you own bonds from Boeing, you know, whatever you happen to own. You own publicly traded securities. The custodian doesn't actually own those. They show up on a statement, but you own those. You own a piece of Coke. You are a creditor of Boeing in this regard. So even if they were to blow up, you know, one of these big custodians were to blow up, the reality is that all they are is digital record keepers for you. They send you your statements, they send you the tax reporting, they facilitate the trades, but they don't actually own the money. The money is your money. You are fractional owners or creditors of these various companies based on the stocks and bonds and things that you have. So for those of you out there who say, hey, I have more than $250,000 in my IRA, should I be concerned? The answer is if it's invested, the answer is no. Now, if you have cash sitting inside a brokerage account, potentially slightly different. On one side, there are just FDIC savings accounts inside your brokerage account. So if you keep that amount to 250 or less, you'll still be fine. Where you want to be mindful is when you're in one of these non-bank financial institutions, and I won't say any of the names, but basically the ones that say, hey, we'll pay you much higher interest rates, but understand we're not a bank, which means we're not FDIC insured. But we're going to pay you 4, 5, 6%, you know, yield on their quote-unquote money market, understand there is no backstop behind some of those companies. So you really need to know where your money is and is it FDIC insured or is it protected? Once again, if it's assets at a custodian, that's the Schwabs, the TD Ameritrade, the Vanguards, the Fidelities, whatever it happens to be, they're just placeholders. They're holding those investments for you. They're digital record keepers. So you're going to be okay on that. Plus, they're in pretty good shape to begin with. Think about it. They make fees and transactions on everything. You know, now what they do with cash money, that could be an entirely different show. So before we move on to the next question, what I want to do is offer you a chance to get our Retirement Success Toolkit. It's got multiple things in it because you need more than one thing for retirement. It's got a copy of my latest book, The Retirement Success Blueprint, How to Build the Retirement You Deserve. It's got a companion report, Are You Paying Too Much Taxes in Retirement? And another white paper called 11 Signs You're Working with the Wrong Advisor. With all the crazy uncertainty that's going out there with interest rates and the stock market and soon to be the employment market and all these things, you need a little bit of certainty. You need a roadmap. Let me provide that for you. We call ours the Retirement Success Toolkit. No cost, no obligation. We'll even cover the postage. How do you get it? Give us a call. 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822. Just ask for the Retirement Success Toolkit. We'll get that mailed out to you on Monday. Or you can go to crystallaketax.com. So once again, Angela, I'd like to thank you for sending in your question. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on air, you can always go to crystallaketax.com, submit your question, tune in next week, and maybe I'll answer it on air for you. But if you have a private question, you said, hey, Mike, I just got a quick question. I want to talk to you or one of your fiduciary advisors. Give us a call. We'll set up a 15-minute strategy call to get your question answered. How do you get that? 866-316-0822. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, and you are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. And especially today, as we're talking about Silicon Valley Bank and the bankruptcy, and really what it means for you, as well as the inflation numbers and how the trend is working out with inflation. So were you surprised at that at all? I think it was the Biden administration that stepped in and said, hey, don't worry if you have over $250,000 in the bank. We're going to make you whole. Was that move surprising to you? I think they had something to do last weekend, because if they hadn't, the reaction in the markets would have been a lot different. And frankly, the markets weren't really great the past week. So don't get me wrong, but still, you might have runs on other banks, right? There's always cracks in the systems. There's more than one cockroach, some people would say. So if they hadn't done anything, we could have seen the beginnings potentially of a run on other banks. So they had to come in and take some steps just to have preventative measures. So I'm glad that they did that. But it reminds me of a Dennis Conner analogy. I always talk about how sailors have to make small adjustments. In sail racing, you never make major adjustments. It's different than racing a car or a track, right? You're making small adjustments if you're sailing. If you think you need to put the sail in, let's say pull the main sheet in by one. And the sheet, by the way, isn't a bed sheet in case you're not a sailor out there. It's actually the line that pulls the main in. But you could pull in 1 inch, say, okay, I need to pull it in 1 inch to get the sail where it wants to be. Well, you only pull it in about half an inch, then you sit back and you wait for the reaction. And that's why I went on this tirade earlier, because I think that the real issue here is the Fed is trying to treat the economy as though it's a race car on a track, when really it should be more like a sailboat. And coming up, I want to talk a lot more about how the Fed's reaction might affect your decisions on how to manage your assets. And now I'd like to offer you an opportunity to get our Amazon best-selling book called The Retirement Success Blueprint. In this compelling book, you're going to learn that most retirement planners have it all wrong when it comes to income planning and saving for retirement. It goes depth into how to truly generate maximum income in your portfolio, mitigate the amount of risk, and how do you legally pay the least amount of taxes. In addition, in this kind of environment, how do you take advantage of market downturns rather than get hurt by them? Right now, for the first 5 callers, I'll send you a free copy of my book, Retirement Success Blueprint. Give us a call, 866-316-0822. It's complimentary for the first 5 loyal listeners, 866-316-0822. Just ask for the Retirement Success Blueprint book. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. You are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart.
If you're preparing to retire in the next 10 years, this message is for you. One of the biggest sources of income may be how you claim your Social Security. That's right, how you claim your benefits.
Reach out to the Retirement Success Blueprint radio show right now for our free report, Are Your Allocations Right for Social Security?
Call 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822.
For your free report, Are Your Allocations Right for Social Security? Simply reach out to us here at the Retirement Success Blueprint.
Call 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822. Or visit us online at crystallaketax.com.
Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart, brought to you by Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, with offices in Madison and the Chicago suburbs.
Welcome back. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, and you are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint. So far on today's show, we've talked a lot about the news coming out of the banking industry with Silicon Valley failing, plus the inflation numbers last week. What's going on there? So right now, I'm going to talk to you about how all this is really affecting the markets and what you can do to make sure that you're properly protected. It can be a scary time. If you're listening to the media, you're trying to make decisions because you don't want to underreact, right? You also don't want to overreact. There's people that reacted really quick in 2007 and at the end of 2007 when they thought maybe there was an issue. If you read The Big Short, you know, and they did a movie about it, the fellow Michael Burry, I guess his name was, who predicted the housing crisis, and he shorted the market and made a ton of money. So you can react quick. The problem is most of the time when you react like that, you overreact. So the Biden administration has come out and really made a point that they're going to shore up again depositors when it comes to banks. So that doesn't mean that banks won't be allowed to fail or go bankrupt. So shareholders can lose money in bank stocks. Maybe even bondholders could lose money in bank stocks. That's possible. But it does not mean that depositors are going to be protected, right? So they're going to take care of depositors and their hard-earned savings before they're going to take care of shareholders and bondholders. So they've given some sign of life there. And I got to think that they're getting out ahead of this purposefully so it isn't a systemic issue. And the issue can be solved almost immediately just jamming down short-term rates. So if the Fed jams down short-term rates, this isn't like 2007, 2008, where we had all these junk loans on the books. All the credit default swaps were tying together these financial institutions. So if one failed, it was like a bunch of dominoes. This is a completely different issue. This is just interest rates. If all of a sudden interest rates come down, then all the mortgages and bonds and bank portfolios will be worth more. And they're back from a deficit into a surplus. And that helps the bank's reserves. And also, if all of a sudden savings accounts are paying less, CDs are paying less than banks are, once again, increases their net interest margin, like we talked about earlier, and they're earning more interest than they're taking out. So because it's easily fixable, I guess the real message is I wouldn't overreact to this. I don't see this being a 2007, 2008. I wouldn't overreact here in terms that there's any major changes in your portfolio if you're properly positioned, right? Could this cause another 10, 20% drop in stocks? Absolutely. Is it a going concern? Can it concern a lot of companies? Absolutely. Because if banks become less solvent, maybe banks that have offered revolving lines of credit to other companies, the banks might shut down those lines of credits. So now those companies don't have their line of credit that they want and need, or companies might be concerned about leaving too much money in the bank, therefore their cash reserves are going to be a little bit less. So it can affect the stability of individual, small, mid-sized, and large companies overall, which in turn could affect the market. So yeah, we haven't been in a bear market now for a few months, right? But we also believe that the October lows that we saw, there's a really good chance in the next few months we might go back to those. Not just because of the bank runs, but because the Fed is going to screw this up. So we came out sometime during in the summer bear market, and that's defined as a 20% drop from its peak. But just the past week, we got down there, we skated with bear market territory on the S&P 500 again. And the reality is we could see another 10 or 20% drop. But should you make any major real allocations in your investments because of that? The answer is no. Here's the big caveat, folks. If you're allocated for your goals and your time horizon already, you shouldn't be making any major changes. So again, don't overreact, don't panic. Now, if you're not properly allocated, that is a completely different story. If you're allocated and you're too aggressive and you want to retire in a couple of years, or you're already retired and you're trying to push the limit, then maybe you do need to act quickly. But if you're allocated appropriately for your goals and your time horizon, then this too shall pass. So what about bank stocks? Because that's our next question from Thomas. And Thomas says, I've got some bank stocks, Mike. Should I hold on to them? Should I get rid of them? They've all been down about 30% in the last couple of weeks. Well, I say this, Thomas. The other part of the reason, too, that the market could easily drop another 10, 15, 20% is because the banking sector is part of the S&P 500. So if bank stocks drop, if insurance company stocks drop because of this, just because of some of these same concerns, even if it's only for a few months, that can cause us to take a hit on paper for bank stocks. The biggest concern is, will the bank fail or have permanent problems? So you have to parse out that the different stocks that you have. Are they regional banks that might have financial issues? Are they the big money center banks? Are they just small cap banks? You know, all of those are going to have a different credit profile. So the general consensus out there today is that the regional banks have potentially the most issues. And part of it's because regional banks might hold on to slightly higher percentage of their loans, where a lot of the big institutions just sell them off. But the biggest reason is the regional banks don't have the tools at their disposal that the big banks have. You see, big banks have tools. They hedge interest rates. They can make money on things like trading. They've got brokerage firms. They make money on things like investment banking and fees, things that most of the regional banks. So the big banks are called money center banks. It's the Citibanks, it's the Bank of America's, the JP Morgans, and all that. They've got a little bit more protection. They can deal with the pain from rising interest rates a little bit longer because they can kind of shift things around inside their business model. So you really have to look at your stocks individually. We have some regional banks in our own portfolios, but they're some of the strongest regional banks out there. And a lot of them are paying 3, 4, 5% dividends. So we're not worried about them because we think they've already taken a nice hit with what happened just in the matter of a few weeks ago. And now there's a really good chance they might actually rebound from here, as it's not the baby being thrown out with the bathwater. So you really need to do your homework on those financials, especially if you've got smaller regional banks. Thomas, hope that answers your question. If you've got a question you want me to answer on air, you can always go to crystallaketax.com, submit your question. Tune in next week. Maybe you'll hear your answer on the air. If you have a private question, hey, Mike, I just want to chat with you about something. Let's set you up for what we call a 15-minute strategy call, right? We'll get you on my calendar personally and answer your question. If it makes sense to meet after that, great, then we will. If it doesn't, at least you get your question answered. If you want that 15-minute strategy call, give us a call. We'll get you on a calendar, 866-316-0822. Again, 866-316-0822 to schedule that 15-minute strategy call. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner, and you're listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. And today we're talking about the banking industry and what you can do to protect yourself, plus the rate of the Fed continuing to hike interest rates, if that's really going to continue going forward. So I have to ask you, the Biden administration, when they came out and said, hey, we're not going to make everyone whole that had invested more than $250,000. They were very careful to say this is not a bailout, but a lot of people are still interpreting it as a bailout, right? Because you're taking uninsured money and just making it insured. So if it is it a bailout, is it going to affect the economy even more? And where's that money going to come from? Well, what everybody hoped was that they would buy back the bonds and mortgages from some of these regional banks at face value. What does that mean? That means that if these regional banks had, you know, a $100 million bond portfolio, but because the values have dropped substantially, maybe they're only $80 million on their books if they had to sell them, the Fed can step in and say, hey, we'll just take that $100 million of treasury bonds that mature in a year or two. We'll give you the $100 million because we know, yeah, they're currently valued at $80, but we know that they're our own bonds. They're going to mature at $100 million, right? So there really isn't any risk other than just time. So again, as interest rates go up, bond values go down. But as long as it's not a run on the bank, they hold them to maturity so they get all their money back. So it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, borrow money, you have to pay it back in time. But if the bank wants to resell that loan at a higher rate, interest rate environment, they're going to sell it for less. So what they could have done, what the Fed could have done, what everyone was hoping for, was that they just buy back some of these things at face value and just give the banks back their money. That way the banks are back recapitalized, and at the end of the day, these bonds are going to mature because they're guaranteed by the government. Others hoped that at least the government would buy their own treasury bonds that some of these banks held back at face value, but they didn't. What they basically did was lend money to these banks at competitive rates and say, hey, we're going to lend you this money to shore up your reserves to make up that difference until everything comes back. So it was kind of a quasi bailout, not really, but the point is they made a point of saying they're not going to let people with over $250,000 fail. Once again, stockholders, bondholders, shareholders, yeah, they're probably going to fail, but depositors, they're not. And if they're going to do that on medium-sized banks, then you got to assume they're going to do that for everyone. So ultimately, should you let the Fed drive your personal finance vehicle here like a race car, or what should you do? So you have to keep your eye on the news. And you have to keep your eye on the Fed, which you actually want to talk about later in the show if we have time. So you do have to keep your eye on it. But the Fed likes to talk a lot. And frankly, what caused this is the Fed's what we call jawboning. The Fed came out a couple weeks prior to the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and they jawboned. Inflation higher. We're going to raise rates. Might even raise them 0.5% in March. Next time, everybody's assuming they're going to raise them 0.25%. So the assumption that they're going to raise them 0.5%. The two-year government bond went up, short-term rates went up, banks felt pressured off more on their short-term CDs because rates went up. Also, the value of loans went up, and the bank portfolios dropped even further, and the value of the bonds dropped even further, not because the Fed actually raised interest rates a few weeks ago, but because they talked about aggressively continuing to raise interest rates. So the Fed's part of the problem here. So some banks that had a surplus, all of a sudden on paper, it wiped out the surplus. So frankly, it was the Fed's, in the previous week's jawboning about prior to Silicon Valley Bank collapse that caused a lot of this. So you got to be careful. You got to listen to it, but you also got to take it with a grain of salt. Because if you overreact based on that jawboning, then you're going to be making some mistakes in your own portfolio. And again, this is a great example where jawboning actually caused this. This is why I say, Mr. Powell, take your hands off the controls. Take your feet off the pedals. Give it 3 months, 6 months, and let's see what's going to happen, right? If things start falling off the table, guess what? You can always jump back in and raise rates. But if they're already going to fall off the table, raising rates and continuing to raise rates as we're heading into the storm, probably not a great idea. Well, the most important thing really here for our listeners out there is to stay up to date with what's going on. It's really hard sometimes to figure it out. What's truth? What's sensationalism? And how's one way you figure that out? One, listen to this show on a weekly basis. I think that's really helpful for you. A second thing you can do is get your hands on what we call our Retirement Success Toolkit. Our Retirement Success Toolkit has several things in it because you need more than one thing for successful retirement. No cost, no obligation. We're going to send you three things in our Retirement Success Toolkit. One, a copy of our recently published book, Retirement Success Blueprint, How to Build a Retirement You Deserve. Two, are you paying too much taxes in retirement? And three, 11 signs you're working with the wrong advisor. How do you get the Retirement Success Toolkit free of charge? No cost to you. We'll even pay for the postage. Give us a call. Ask for it by name. Retirement Success Toolkit. 866-316-0822. We'll get that out to you. No cost, no obligation. Just ask for the Retirement Success Toolkit. 866-316-0822. Or go to crystallaketax.com. So coming up, I'm going to tell you some of the tips, the best ways for you to stay up to date and informed. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. This is the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. We'll be right back.
Have you missed any of today's Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart? No problem. You can hear all of our shows online anytime, 24/7 at crystallaketax.com. That's crystallaketax.com.
If you want excitement, don't do it in your financial portfolio. Go to the amusement park and ride a roller coaster. Get on a race track and drive a race car.
Time now for the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart, brought to you by Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, with offices in Madison and the Chicago suburbs.
Welcome back. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, and you are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint. And I'm so glad you're here today. We're trying to cover this plethora, if you will, of news items that came out over the last week or so. First, the failure of three regional banks, starting with Silicon Valley Bank, then Signature Bank, First Republic's teetering, even got Credit Suisse over in Europe teetering. How does it all affect your money? Then, of course, the inflation reading, which came in hotter for a second month in a row. What's the Fed going to do? And most importantly, should you react or are you really overreacting? And how to know the difference, how to really educate yourself. So when to react and when not to react, and let's say Jerome Powell, like we talked about, is jawboning or bloviating, if you will, about pushing interest rates even higher, causing some of the very problems that we're seeing and making them real. Well, I think it's sometimes it can be hard to know when to react. You just need to know a little bit about it. You have to. And if you're really sick in your later years where you're not thinking straight, heck, you have to be a patient advocate. You need to have somebody there who knows their stuff, who can talk intelligently to doctors. Well, the same is true with your money. I always say that I care sometimes more about my clients' money than my own business. So at the end of the day, I'd like to say that nobody cares more about your money than you. Nobody. So just like in medicine, there's a certain amount that you need to know. Just like you need to know how much protein you should take today and how many carbohydrates and how much fat, which foods are good for you and which foods aren't, you need to know. When it comes to your investments too, you need to stay informed because you can't just turn your life savings over to a financial advisor without being involved. That financial advisor is there to help you, but it's like a coach, right? A coach can't play the game. A coach just coaches you through the game, but you still have to stay alert and you still have to stay informed. Well, personal ownership is extremely important. Just think about it. The doctor's seeing how many patients every day, every single week, whereas no one cares more about your personal health or your personal finance than you are. And really, the same is true for financial advisors that do help a lot of clients. Well, speaking of financial advisors, it can be really difficult to figure out what kind of financial advisor you really need, depending on where you are in life. One of the questions that I get all the time is, Mike, how is Crystal Lake Tax and Financial different? Your radio show is different than all those others that are not only on this station, but some of the others. And the reason is because we are different as a firm. We're not just about selling you investments. Right. One of the things that a lot of prospective clients, especially loyal radio listeners or those that attend our workshops, come in and they say, you know what? I've met with my guy or gal and, you know, my eyes roll back in my head. I walk out there. I have no idea what they just said. They just said, yeah, it went up. It went down. They're just talking investments. But that's not really a plan. At Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we are what you call wealth managers. What's the difference between a wealth manager and just an investment broker? We build a plan, we call ours the Retirement Success Blueprint, that covers five main areas for your life. One, where's your income coming from in retirement? And what I mean by that is not just some arbitrary you can take X percent. We show you in black and white where in interest and dividends alone, cash flow from your investments alone, you can generate the level of income that you need. If you've got a $1 million portfolio and you need $40,000, $50,000 of supplemental income, we'll show you in black and white where it's coming from in the form of interest and dividends. So even if the market's down, your income doesn't change. So first, retirement income. In my book, I call it eat the eggs, not the chickens, right? Don't spend the principal, just take the cash flow. Secondarily, risk. How much risk should you take, right? If you've won the game, stop playing the game, right? Take enough risk to keep up with inflation to give you a rising income, but don't take so much that one bad year is going to blow away 3 years of gains, right? So take the risk you need to accomplish your goals, no more, no less. Third, tax efficiency. Could we legally pay less in taxes over our lifetime? And for most clients, we wind up showing them how to potentially save hundreds of thousands of dollars of unnecessary and voluntary taxes. How can we do that? At Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we not only have fiduciary financial planners, but we have a CPA on staff, an entire tax team. We do tax preparation for our clients. We do proactive tax planning for our clients. How do we save money over our lifetime in taxes? And we have a legal team in-house that works with the estate planning side of it as well. That's how you have a real financial plan. At Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we've got fiduciary financial planners, an entire tax team, a CPA on staff, a legal team in-house to work with our clients, estate planning. That is a real financial plan. Most people only have a junk drawer of stuff, and it's just an investment plan. So if they have tax questions, their broker can't answer them. They got to go see someone else. If they got estate planning questions, their advisory firm can't answer them. They got to go see somebody else. Folks, your financial life is more complicated than just investments. You need to work with a fiduciary financial planner and a firm that can address the taxes, the estate planning, the investment management, the financial planning, all under one roof. Many people have just outgrown their financial advisor. It was great when they were 20, 30, 40, 50, and they were just trying to save more, right? Just try to grow at the market. As you're 5 years away from retirement, as you're in retirement, it's about protecting what you have, legally paying the least amount of taxes possible, generating as much income as you potentially need without spending through principal, and leaving the legacy that you want. If that's the kind of relationship you're looking for, guess what? Crystal Lake Tax and Financial is here for you. So our next question has to do with this, and it comes from Beverly. She says, how can I choose the right advisor for my stage of life? Okay, Beverly, well, I don't know what stage of life you're in right now, so it's a little difficult, but I'm going to assume you're listening to the show, which means you're somebody who's either retired or probably within 10, 15 years of retirement. So I'm going to answer the question that way. But the first thing to give a general answer is I believe you want to work with somebody who's a fiduciary because you know you have people who are held to what's called a suitability standard too. People that are held to a fiduciary standard, what's the difference? Well, if somebody's earning a commission, then they're held to what they call a suitability standard. They've got to make a recommendation that is okay or suitable for you. If somebody's held to a suitability standard, they've got to be able to back up that recommendation on why they think it's a good option for you. And then there's the fiduciary standard. The fiduciary standard is somebody gets paid a management fee, not a commission. So they are legally obligated to say, of all the investment choices available, independent of how I get paid, this is what's in your best interest, right? And so it's not just that it's suitable, because, you know, suitable can mean a high fee, high commission thing, and yeah, it still makes sense. Not the best option for you, but it's suitable. A fiduciary is going to work with no conflict of interest and operate in your best interest. That's who you want to work with. Now, sometimes people get really cheap, right? Really tight. So if you want to go to Costco or you want to go to Marshall's and you want to go shop to save some money, but in some places, you get what you pay for when it comes to financial advisors paying that fee. Even though it might end up being a little bit more than the commission often is, because the person is a fiduciary. Even in the fiduciary world, you got to be careful because there's people who are fiduciaries part-time and people that are fiduciaries full-time. So for example, a lot of big brokerage firms out there, they'll say they're fiduciary and they can work on a fiduciary basis, but they also do a lot of work on a commission basis. So it's not fiduciary only if they can also make commissions. So you really have to check and see what their business model is because you want to make sure they're aligned with you. Now, number two, you want to make sure that a lot of clients are in your same age bracket. As an example, at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we don't have any 30 and 40-year-olds running around the place. Nearly 99% of everybody are either approaching or in retirement. That's who we specialize with. So if you want to interview them, don't think you're going to insult somebody, but interview them and simply say, what? Tell us your clientele. 80% of your clients are between ages X and Y. Fill in the X and Y. And if you're looking to retire or are retired, and they say 80% are between 55 and 75, well, that's probably the right answer. If they say 80% are between 40 and 60, well, maybe not, right? They might be working with a lot of folks that are younger than you. So again, ask that question and find out. Then number three, think, do you want them to ask how to generate income if you're part of this income generation? How do you get income from your portfolio? So if I come to you and I got $1 million, show me how I'm going to get income, and it can't just be, oh, take 4%. Show me on my statement where I can get the 4%. Most advisors tell you you can generate 3%, 4%. We actually do it through the form of interest and dividends off the portfolio. So if you got $1 million and you need $40,000 of supplemental income, then you need to see that on your statement that that portfolio is going to kick in $40,000 independent of if the stock market is going up or down. That is critically important for you because once you start taking out money, once you retire, there is no do-over. There is no reset button. So you want to make sure you're working with a fiduciary who focuses on clients specifically in your age demographic and that their income strategies come from interest and dividends. You know, and this could be, once again, dividend-paying stocks. So it doesn't mean you're not in the stock market. It just means that your cash flow, what you need to spend every year, needs to come in the form of dividends. So if you have a question you want me to answer on air, you can always go to crystallaketax.com, submit your question. Maybe you'll hear it next week. If you've got a private question, you just want to set up a 15-minute call with me, kind of pick my brain about something that might make sense for you, give us a call. Just ask for a 15-minute strategy call, 866-316-0822, 866-316-0822, or crystallaketax.com. This is Michael Stewart, Fiduciary Financial Planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. This is the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome. Well, I want to get to that last bit of good information out there before we finish up this week, but time flies. I think we just talked a little bit about how people can stay informed outside of their advisor. Because sometimes if you don't know anything about medicine, doctor gives a recommendation, you might buy into it. But sometimes if you know enough about medicine, you listen, you say, that doesn't feel right to me. I'm going to go get a second or third opinion. So what can you do to stay informed? Well, first, I'm a big exercise fan because I have to keep moving. I got this theory of if you don't stop, if you keep moving, you continue to move on at least until you don't. So to me, I do cardio every morning. I like to get it done first thing. Makes me feel good to do cardio at the house, put on the TV, maybe get 30 minutes of CNBC in. And at the beginning, if you're not a financial advisor, you might listen up and might say, what are they saying? But over time, you start to figure it out. You may jot down some words that you don't know, but they don't know what they mean. You might Google them, find it out. So you can just learn through osmosis in little increments every day. Now, all of a sudden, maybe an app on your phone, you get the CNBC app, the Bloomberg News app, things like that. You look into subscriptions. Either way, what I wouldn't encourage you to do is, hey, I got a postcard in the mail and somebody's offering me a free steak dinner, right? Because if you're not paying for it, guess what? You're going to be paying for it. So as we wrap up today, I'm going to give you one more opportunity to get what we call our Retirement Success Toolkit. Retirement Success Toolkit has a lot of things in it because you need a lot of things. It's got a copy of my recently published book, The Retirement Success Blueprint, two white papers, a companion report, Are You Paying Too Much Taxes in Retirement?, and 11 Signs You're Working with the Wrong Advisor. It's free of charge to you. We'll mail it out on Monday. Give us a call. Ask for the Retirement Success Toolkit, 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822. Thanks for joining us. So as we wrap up, if you or someone you care about needs conservative, tax-focused financial planning advice, don't keep us a secret. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend. Until next week, be safe, be humble, and never settle for anything less than you deserve.
That's all the time we have for today. To speak with Michael off the air, call 866-316-0822. And for more information about how to make the switch to retirement income, visit us online at crystallaketax.com. Michael will be back again next week at this same time for another Retirement Success Blueprint.